Good morning, everybody. I'll try and speak slowly in order that the translation can be done. If I'm going too slowly, the translators, please just let me know, then I'll go faster. Groundwork is an environmental justice organization based in Pietermaritzburg, and I was very fortunate in 1998 to come through to Maputo on behalf of a few concerned citizens who were worried about the toxic waste incinerator in Motola. And subsequent to that, I personally and Groundwork has had a very long history of working with citizens in Mozambique and working with Justice Ambiental specifically. Groundwork is an environmental justice organization, so when we talk about environment, we talk about power, and that is really critical for our analysis with regards to environment. We're also an organization, and I know there's a lot of government people in the space today, but we're also an organization that will protest against government. We will take government to court, but the reality as well is that we will also support government in their endeavors when we know that they are responding to the needs of people. So our relationship with government is not uniform. It takes on different aspects and different realities and different responses based upon how governments are responding to people's challenges on the ground. Today, what I'm basing my discussion on is a report that I think Dipti will bring through tomorrow morning called Good Energy, Bad Energy. It was a report written by Friends of the Earth International, released about 18 months ago, if not longer, and Dipti had a very strong role to play, as well as Jose, Mina, Nimmo, myself, Sarah, the previous coordinator, in putting that report together. So for me, the value of today, sitting with so many government people in the room, we will judge the outcomes of today if we can see that government people have changed their thinking around the issues that affect us. Because we recognize very clearly that you are under pressure from corporates. You are under pressure from big money interest. And it is only in spaces like this that we believe we can give you power to resist. So if one looks at energy and how it impacts upon climate change, we need to recognize that our current energy systems, the way we produce, distribute, and consume energy, is unsustainable, unjust, and it harms community people, and that's really critical. It also is in the interest of the rich and the powerful. Energy is produced and consumed not by us, but by the rich and powerful. And an example of this is in South Africa. Of all the energy produced in South Africa, communities only consume 18% of that energy. And of all that energy that is consumed by communities of 18%, the majority is consumed by the middle classes. And what the way we produce energy with big coal-fired power stations, with consuming and digging and extracting and exploiting coal, gives us power stations like this, where you can see how thick the pollution is on the ground. The pollution doesn't disappear. What is also very interesting, as you see many South Africans here today, is that our pollution is your pollution. We, as we pollute from coal, that pollution also ends up in Mozambique, either through the rivers, and there's enough documentation on that, or through air pollution. The type of heavy energy that we use and develop in South Africa has resulted in our industries being the most intensive climate change impact industries in the world. Sasol, which is the old South African state oil company, has the single biggest source of greenhouse gases in the world in the plant which is in Secunda, which is just across the border in Mpumalanga. This is a photo of the Sasol plant in a town called Sasolburg to show you how interconnected power is with dirty industry. And the reality is that this is what goes down next to our coal-fired power stations. Polluted water and people having to depend not on electricity but on burning coal, and we'll get there. So the key challenges are, in terms of energy, climate change is already happening and urgent action is needed, and Mina spoke much about that. 57% of our greenhouse gases come from CO2 released by fossil fuel. And Mina also spoke about the 1.3 billion people that have no access to electricity. 2.6 billion people have no access to clean cooking facilities, so they burn fuel indoors. And what's really critical is to look at what is in red, is that the energy consumption per head of population in the United States is twice as much as in Europe and Japan, more than 10 times more than China, and 20 times that in India, and about 50 times higher in the poorest countries in sub-Sahara Africa. And that is really critical to understand. So that's why Mina had that big bloated northern aspect of climate change with a very thin southern part, because most of the greenhouse gases that are released today is because of consumption in the north. But also, let us not forget about consumption by the rich in the south as well. The other key problem is energy waste. The way we produce and consume energy is extremely wasteful. The central energy systems waste more than 66% of the energy input. And what's critical is that we consume so many products that need to be disposed of and have very short lifespans. You don't anymore find rich people using their appliances for 5-10 years. After 3 years, out goes the washing machine, out goes the car, and in comes a new one. So that has really been a problem. But also, the reason why energy impacts upon climate change is because of fossil fuels. And the reality is that the world is reliant on fossil fuels, and often governments will come to you with alternatives. But those alternatives, and we heard today about the dams, they are not alternatives. The nuclear facilities, the cracking, and also the issues around agrofuels and incineration. And this is what is the experience of many poor people in South Africa, but in Africa is where you have to burn coal indoors because you don't have electricity. The reality in South Africa is that 21 years after democracy, we're still sitting with 20% of the population that does not have electricity. What are the impacts of destructive energy sources? We have climate change, and the reality is now we're at a point in climate change where there's a point of no return. As I stand here today, if not already, we are at a point where we won't be able to turn back. We're down a one-way, dead-end street. Land grabbing. When people thirst for fuel, we have land grabbing. And so what happens is a lot of the farmers are losing their land. But let's also remember, land grabbing also comes with new renewable energy projects. And Jose will probably speak, you can speak to him later. He might know more about the land grabs in Latin America because of wind farms, because of energy for big industrial corporations from the north. Air pollution and water pollution, and this is why I put this particular photo up. That's a coal mine, that's toxic waste just being disposed of next to our most important water source, the Vaal River, outside Johannesburg. and obviously the Eskom coal-fired power stations in the north or in the top of that. Deforestation and biodiversity is a big issue, and basically the destruction of local economies, because once mining comes in, you can kiss your local economy goodbye, because suddenly the numbers are done on what can you extract rather than what you can share locally. Badly paid and unsafe jobs, that's what comes with dirty energy. People, social impacts are very, very heavy on people. Many people in Mozambique, we know, worked on the coal mines in South Africa. That is not a humane job. Health problems, premature deaths, you know, human rights abuses of communities. The Vale story in Mozambique has been very clear and articulate globally about how people have been suffering because of Vale. Loss of traditional medicines, livelihood and cultures. Suddenly your culture is about economics. Your culture is about what money can I get for the coal in the ground. You have lost, we lose the reality of that. Our cultures were never like that. Our cultures were about sharing. And social upheaval and community breakdown. Why do we have in South Africa the highest HIV/AIDS rates in the world? It's because of mining. It's because of coal mining and how that has affected people and families. And that's all because of energy. Looking specifically at the impacts, we have health impacts in terms of this dirty energy processes that we're involved with. But it's not groundwork saying that as a troublemaking organization. That's the World Health Organization saying that. In 2012, 7 million people died. 1 in 8 of total global deaths was because of air pollution and fossil fuels. Now the thing to remember that those deaths are more than malaria, HIV/AIDS, and other communicable diseases put together. Those deaths are more than that. Other facts is that you'll often be faced with alternatives, but they don't work. More than 50% of the world's rivers are choked because of damming. And I think the word choked is important. Imagine me holding you by the neck and squeezing you. You're going to die, and that's what happens to our rivers. I can release it every now and then, slowly, a little bit of air, but you'll be incapacitated. You won't be able to move. And that's why it's important to listen to the community people who are talking about Mpandakua and Kawarabasa. Nuclear safety is not an issue. You can't have nuclear safety. It's a misnomer. The United States spends $7.3 trillion defending oil. And what do we mean by that? Fighting in Iraq, fighting in Nigeria. That is what they talk about defending oil. Agrofuels, 66% of land grabs in Africa is because of agrofuels. And this is the classic. I mean, the first struggle that brought me to Maputo was incineration. And yet, the incineration of waste is more carbon intensive than electricity. The drivers of the current system, it's a political approach which says profit making is most important. It's not you and me, it's profit making. And what happens is we have government getting into bed with the corporations, having profit sharing agreements, but those profit sharing agreements don't come to the bottom. Production of goods for export, that's critical. We don't export, we want to have goods internally. And environmental and social cost of production of this energy is put upon me and you. The cost of that energy, the externalities, when we pollute the earth and people. The corporation's not cleaning up. We clean it up by drinking it or by breathing it in with our lungs. Privatization and liberalization of energy, that's another critical reality that is facing us that makes dirty energy dangerous. And politicians and the big corporates have this revolving door. A corporate is part of the politicians the one day, then the politician will become the corporate the next day. So who benefits the most? Dirty energy companies, corrupt political elites, industrial countries, security forces, wealthy consumers. Who pays the biggest price? People in the global south, women, indigenous people, workers, and people in poverty. So what do we need for a just, sustainable, climate-safe energy system? It provides energy access for all as a basic human right, climate-safe and based on locally appropriate, low-impact technologies. Democratic control is critical. Rights of the energy sector workers, so there's a just transition and the influence on how the workplace is run. Right to free and prior informed consent when these energy processes come into your neighborhood. Decentralized energy and a balance between energy use and minimal wastage. Local struggles are going to be spoken about after me. I spoke a bit about that. I'm not going to say more about that. But we're all here today to connect to local struggles. And alternatives is to, if we want to supply energy to all people, respond to unemployment, avoid climate change, clean up pollution, conserve water, avoid bankrupting ourselves, and EarthLife will speak about the nuclear program, and now that's most probably going to bankrupt the entire region, our government should focus on national resources on developing renewable under democratic control while shutting down coal plants. And finally, I'm wearing what I'm saying there is coal kills, kill coal.